It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24-7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
There is truth to the rumor. It is alive. I am back. Glad to be back. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Glad to have you. Welcome to Light the Tower here on the Horn. Thanks, first and foremost, to my broadcast partner, co-host, the pride of Northwest Williamson County, proud graduate of Florence High School, and a former outstanding all-district offensive lineman of the Florence Buffaloes, Jeff Howe, alongside our producer, Snoop Daniel, for more than just holding down the fort, holding your own, as you were texting me saying we didn't let the building burn down, any of that stuff. You guys, you did fine.
Are we just going to be nonchalant about Craig's return to the airwaves? We're just going to treat this like it's just Tuesday. No, welcome back, Craig.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
Welcome back. It's great to have you back.
It's good to be back.
It feels whole in the building again.
But, it was, some would say, there's a couple of holes in this building, and I might say something like that. Or the phrase I heard a lot on the road on vacation, mask holes. For people that weren't wearing their masks, you know, look at those mask holes out there. They're not doing that. Or they're being maskadaisical, you know, those kinds of things. But anyway, it is good to be back. Glad to be back. And, vacation is always nice, but it's always nice to return from it. And it was very much so this time around for a variety of reasons. One of them, and I'll share a little bit about this a little later on, has to do with my mom, who's doing in relatively decent health, but she is 88, and there are some processes and some things underway that ultimately may lead her to going into a senior living community type deal.
Yeah.
There were supposed to be some things that happened with regard to that, and those things weren't able to all transpire. Part of it because, and I have two brothers who live on the North and South Carolina coast, kind of in between where we go on vacation. And there was concern, obviously, about the pandemic with regard to, you know, senior living environments. And so that wasn't going to work out. So she actually came back with us, which brought about quite a lively discussion or two on the drive home.
Oh, I can imagine.
So there's that. The other reason is also because, you have to be careful with things. When I say that it's good to be back, the other reason is we got out of Dodge just in time because the very area where we were on vacation was within, as the crow flies, 3 miles of where Hurricane, was it Isaias? Made landfall last
Snoop,
night.
Snoop shaking his head back there.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
By the way, Snoop, that is a rather large cup of coffee you've got back there, sir.
Only venti.
Yeah, there you go with the venti. Yeah, that's all right, that's a venti. And I got a question about that in a minute. But what I was going to say was that the hurricane made landfall at Ocean Isle Beach, which is the next beach up from where we stay at Sunset Beach. And I read, and it'll be in the Inconceivable segment about, you know, hurricanes and storm surge. And got a couple of things coming up with that. So it is good to be back. Thank you. We're back for the duration, and hopefully we've got football. We now know we have a schedule plan.
Yes.
In place for the Big 12 Conference, which you'll have a little nugget or note with regard to that in our football segment brought to us by our friends at Cedar Park Overhead Door coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Going to give you a little history lesson on How often has Texas played a non-conference schedule where there has not been a Power 5 opponent? We'll get into that. We'll also look at who in the Big 12 needs a game. Greg, you know, Texas, and we'll get into it here in a second, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like UTEP's going to stay on the schedule. South Florida probably going to drop off. Texas is in maybe the best position anybody in the league is in, considering some of the other schools where, you know, you've got an unsavory opponent, or in the case of a couple member institutions, you currently don't have a non-conference game scheduled.
Yeah, that's interesting. So there's some things that are going to go on there. So as we mentioned, Snoop Daniel, our producer, who is a proud graduate of DeSoto High School and proud graduate with an associate's degree from Navarro College in Corsicana. So
3 years, good. But I got it.
Hey, there used to be a rule in the NBA. I don't know if you guys are far too young to remember this. But they used to have a free throw shooting rule in the NBA called 3-to-make-2. And this happened in the 60s into the 70s, where you got three opportunities, you got fouled to hit two free throws. 3-to-make-2.
That's awful.
Yeah, 3-to-make-2.
Hmm.
So in your case, it was 3-to-make-2, right?
Yes.
To finish up there. So you're drinking a venti there, right?
Yes. Well, and venti is size. It's not. Mm. Yes. Just for people who don't know the Starbucks lingo.
That's the largest one.
Yes.
For hot. Have you had the Trenta?
Oh.
That's the one that's like the 55-gallon drum size.
I've heard of the Trenta.
The Trenta, T-R-E-N-T-A.
Okay.
Not always available, depending on the location, especially in this day and age with what everything's gone on. But there was always this. I had posted a photo of this a few years ago on Facebook. My youngest son and I took a little driving trip, and we were up in Colorado, and we came back, and I stopped at a Starbucks in Albuquerque, and I wanted a big iced coffee. I mean, a big one, and then I was going to get a venti, and then I saw they had the Trenta, which I'd heard about. I said, give me the Trenta. So the Trenta is it's a big cup.
It's like
there,
a tumbler.
For the coffee. Yeah, it's big.
It's a super big gulp equivalent.
Is. Yeah, so I'd gotten it. And they'd asked the name, and I told them, and they'd get it, and it's in big letters, G-R-E-G, Greg. So I'd posted the Greg.
So they give you Andre the Giant's coffee cup, and they misspell your name on it.
With Greg on it. So I did that. Actually, that way, it said they had the phonetic part down. It was Craig, but it was C-R-E-G.
Hey, Craig, so if you're going to do the Greg in that voice, don't you have to tell the Jerry Jones story?
There are many who know it, but for those who don't,
you're back from vacation. We need a good Craig Way story to get us started. Off.
Well, we've got some, but the Jerry thing happened. This was a sequel, if you will, to the fact that I hosted his radio show for 2 years in Dallas, right in the middle of the first big run, the Super Bowl run, 92 and 93. We were doing it. Good to visit with you. I did the show for 2 years. Never sat in the same room with him to do it. Not once. Did not sit in the same room with him one time. And he would always be, I would either be in the studio at Valley Ranch that we had, which was a converted, like, little janitorial closet, really was. But he wasn't there. He'd be out of town, or I'd be at the radio station. And the second year, I think I just stayed at the station the whole time because he was never around. He was always by phone. His weekly show, he was always on the phone. And I'd ask him during the break, where are you, Jerry? Oh, I'm up in Stuttgart, Arkansas with a Ducks Unlimited benefit. Or it'd be something like that, or I'm down in Laredo. You know, he was always traveling or whatever. So we did the show for 2 years, never sat across the table from one another to do it or in the studio or anything like that. But he knew who I was. He'd see me at the luncheons on Tuesdays and all right. that, and we visit. So that was 92 and 93. So you flash forward 4 years, 97, when I first moved down here. So Bill Schoening and I are doing the show, and we're doing it out at the Riata Apartments and doing it out at the complex. Jerry, of course, owning that land and the facilities and all that stuff, was swinging through town. So Jerry comes and he pops on with us. And Bill brings it out of the break or whatever and welcomes Jerry. And he says, and Jerry had come up to me. He's good to see you again. How you doing? You know, and kind of gave me a little hug, a little backpack. And I said, good to see you again, Jerry. Sits down. He said, oh, Jerry Jones is with us. And, yeah, well, it's great to be here. And he said, well, I know. And I know you know this guy. He goes, well, I do. And, you know, fundamentally, hypothetically speaking, you know, we had a couple of great years of doing the radio show together. Means a lot to me. Good to see you again, Greg. And then we just went on there. So it was Greg. I meant a lot to him because it was Greg.
Yeah.
So John Madani, who was our producer at the time, turned it into a promo. Where it said, because I just started on the show, he said, well, we're very pleased to have Craig Wade join the staff here. And he said, you know, because part of the reason is because he's so well connected. Like his connections, like, for example, Cowboys owner and Jerry Jones, oh, they go way back. Then you hear, good to be here. Good to see you, Bill. And good to see you as well, Greg. And then Madani's voice pops and goes, hey, Greg, can you get me two for the Redskins game? You know, Sports Day with Bill and Craig, weekday afternoons at 4. Anyway,
oh,
so it was, so that was, yeah, that was Jerry. That was 2 years, 2 years of doing Jerry's Jerry's deal on that.
2 years of doing the show, and you can't even get Greg. The correct name.
Yeah, so, but it made me think about that, about the Trenta Coffee with Craig, C-R-E-G on it. So there's a, you wanted a story about that.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't fault Jerry. I mean, if you fault Jerry for that, you've got to fault when you and Rod were once upon a time doing a live interview with Mac Brown, and Mac accidentally slipped up and called Rod Rob.
Yeah, Rob. That's right. He did. He was one of his former players. And there were, you know, there were other things like that. Well, I'll never forget doing a pregame interview with Jerry Finkbeiner, who at the time was the women's basketball coach for Oral Roberts. And they were about to play Texas in the first round of the NCAA tournament at Reunion Arena in Dallas in 2005, the last time that Jody Conrad coached the Longhorns into the NCAA tournament, 05. So that year, they won their first round game over ORU and then lost a heartbreaker to Georgia in the second round. So it's at Reunion Arena, and Jerry Finkbeiner and I'd ask, can I get a pregame interview? Sure, fine, and I'm getting a talk. And clearly, he had forgotten my name, but he had just met me. And I came back, and I was back at Reunion Arena in Dallas. Craig Wade now joined by ORU Lady Eagles head coach Jerry Finkbeiner. Coach, blah, 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 blah. And he said, good to be on with you. First he said Greg, and I think he then decided that wasn't correct because all he heard was Craig Way, but he heard the A-Y sound.
Yeah.
So he said, good to see you, Greg, blah, 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 blah. And so then I said, well, and what do you feel are going to be the keys that turn this thing? Well, Gray, blah, 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 blah. You call me Gray. So to this day, Cedric Golden, the Austin American Statesman, refers to me as Gray Way.
I was always wondering where that came from, and now I'm glad I know the rest of the story.
That's Gray Way, yeah. And our old friend A.J. Hoppin called me Gray because of that at the time, because it happened when he was still in the air at the time. He heard that interview, Gray.
Oh, man.
Good to visit with you, Gray.
Never knew where that came from, and now I'm
And it really
I'm really
is apropos now when you look at my beard and little bits of it in my hair.
Whenever we get to the season, whenever we're starting, and you and Tom Herman sit down to do Longhorn Weekly, are you keeping the beard?
I hadn't made a final determination on that yet.
Here's the better question. What does Linda think of the beard?
Loves it.
Okay.
She's on board with
it. That's the most important. Whether she's yay or nay, that's the biggest deciding factor.
And part of what you have to understand about that is, and folks who know about my past and the things that have happened in my life and all that, know that Linda and I have been back together now for a couple of years. We dated when we were college age in the early 80s and then went our own separate ways and had our own lives and marriages and children. And, of course, I'd lost my wife to cancer. And then later wound up meeting, randomly running into her 2 years ago this summer. We were both going for the same event to see a friend of ours play, and we'd been friends on Facebook but hadn't been in contact. Hadn't seen her since her wedding that we had gone to in 94. She had been to my wedding, so we'd stayed friends but hadn't really been in contact. And so randomly ran into each other. It's been a great story, and she's great. And,
awesome.
But I had, the point was, back then I had a beard.
Gotcha.
So she liked the beard back then.
I was thinking if Linda was probably anti-beard, it would probably be gone already.
Yep, Probably. So anyway, so that was So that's what that was.
It's a little more, a little more rugged Craig way, maybe in 2020.
A little more unkempt looking, perhaps. we'll try to be a little more kempt as we get it, as we get a little closer to it. So let's dive into a couple of things here. There's two things to talk about. One is, and I visited with my brother this morning. Obviously, it's a hot button topic in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Bucky and Aaron were talking about it. The unpleasant exchange of things that have happened with regard to TCU's football program with Gary Patterson and Jeff. The use, even in the context of illustrating that he did not want this word used in any way, shape, or form, the N-word, and to use it in the example that he used it, still, you know, bothered and has bothered enough people, including the student-athlete that was involved in the conversation.
Yeah, so this came to light yesterday. Nico Smalls, former TCU player, tweets it out that a racial slur was used. Gary Patterson needs to apologize. And everybody's wondering, well, what context was it in? When was it said? It turns out it was said in the last few days. Dylan Jordan, the player in question, tells a story on Twitter. I think everybody kind of, I don't need to give too much more background than that. So there's a big ruckus. And I'll tell you this, Craig, from my vantage point, just kind of getting on social media last night, I'm Facebook friends with a lot of guys that played for Gary Patterson. So whether it's Ben Catalan or Kobe Griffin, a lot of guys that have played for Coach Patterson at right. TCU were defending him to the nth degree, saying, hey, this isn't right. And I think Ben Catalan probably put it the way a lot of TCU players said, is Coach Patterson hard on you? Absolutely. Will he do his best to get you ready for the rest of your life? And by virtue of that, is he going to be rough? Yes, but I would never – he's like, I can't see him saying that in a hateful manner or directing that to somebody. And So I think everybody kind of understands the deal now. Dylan Jordan kind of told the story of what happened, put it in context. And around 8:30 this morning, Craig, Gary Patterson released the following statement. I met with our seniors and leadership council last night about how we move forward as a team together. We are committed as individuals and as a program to fighting racial injustice of any kind. I apologize for the use of a word that in any context is unacceptable. I have always encouraged our players to do better and be better, and I must live by the same standards. Our players, past and present, have always been the strength of our program. These men are and will always be my motivation and driving force. In the context that we're talking about it, Craig, I tend to lean towards where Bucky and others have gone with this. It's a word that you should never use, even if you're using it in that context. You should just never say it.
As an example of this is what I don't want you saying.
Yeah.
But to say it.
Yes.
Is what's...
So is he wrong in that sense? Yes. But is this a fireable offense? Is this something that, to borrow a term I'm fond of using, should we, boil Gary Patterson in oil and sell his fat for soap? No, I don't think so. I think at this point, if it's being handled internally, then I think you're probably good at this point, given the context of what we know to be the situation. Now, if something else comes up, if it's revealed that there's a history of this or this is a pattern, to me at that point you're talking about a completely different conversation. But given the context of this situation, I think this is probably the end of it.
Yeah, I think so. And the mere fact, as to what you said, the mere fact that there are players, current and former, who yes. are just leaping to his defense, that's why, because of that I think he's probably going to, get more of a pass on.
Yeah, I think Gary Patterson will be fine. I mean, is he going to take a hit in the court of public opinion? Absolutely. There's some people that will not like this and will not agree with it in any way, shape, or form. But again, I think if you just, I'll just look at the context that was used. He knows it was not the right thing to say it. You don't say that word in any way, shape, or form. Like you said, whether you're using it to repeat something someone said or not, you just don't use it. So, like I said, I think at this point he's apologized, and if internally, if everybody in that program at TCU is good with it, then we move on, and hopefully we don't hear about Gary Patterson using that word ever again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we get to our football segment, and that's going to launch us in, obviously, into the Big 12's announcement yesterday and what it looks like going forward with scheduling. By the way, folks can weigh in on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776, 512-337-3776. So we'll do that, and folks have already texted him. Good to hear from Bevo Lanch Jason, who says, Greg Way is back, folks. Joe Tessitore. That's cute. Then you got Joe, who says, I ain't worried about the COVID. I'm worried about Matrenta. That's the reference to even pre... well, certainly before pre-shelter in place the first time, when it was first starting to break out. If you know this show, you know that I was standing in line at a Randall's. Lynn and I were. We were grocery shopping, and there was a guy putting his groceries on the belt, and we were keeping our distance away, wearing masks. He was not wearing a mask, but he was putting the groceries on the belt, and he takes out a package, like a 5-pound package of ground beef. It looked like it had like some frozen, and he was wiping it down a little bit, and he looked at me and said, I'm not worried about the COVID. I ain't worried about the COVID. I'm worried about my meat. It's my meat I'm worried about. So that's what that reference is to from Joe. And then a little bit of clarification with regard to Venti and Trenta. Thanks to the texter who said Venti is 20 in Spanish. Trenta is 30 in Spanish. That's how many ounces the drinks are. I'm with you there. The Trenta, it was a big one. It was a 30-ounce coffee. You think about it, 30 ounces of iced coffee that I'd had. Now, he's spelling it, the texter is, clearly correctly, the V-E-N-T-E and T-R-E, V-E-I-N-T-E, T-R-E-I-N-T-A. Starbucks just drops the I out of it. They just do Venti, V-E-N-T-E, and or V-E-N-T-I. They do it, I guess, that might be the Italian way of doing it, V-E-N-T-I. And then Trenta, they just do T-R-E-N-T-A, no I in that. So that's what the deal is.
Trenta.
Yeah. That's one with it. So anyway, so that's so I'm glad we got that all situated. We're not worried about our meat. We're just worried about everybody here. So that's hopefully everybody's good. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will get into our football segment and the scheduling announcement by the Big 12 and what it means with regard to the University of Texas. We'll talk about it with high school football. High school teams back on the practice field, as we know, this week. So we'll get to all that and more when we continue with Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Shirts and Skins with Chad Hastings and Trey Elling.
You remember how cab drivers back in the 1980s had the beaded cover for the driver's seat?
I used to own one of those. Those dreams have remained and they've turned
around. Who would have thought they'd reach? Well, that'll make you feel real old school there for those of you watched Welcome Back, Kotter in the 70s. But it is good to be back. Glad to be back here on this Tuesday morning here on Light the Tower. Craig Wade, Jeff Howe with you. Warren's 24/7. And we've got some other topics to get to, but it is time for our football segment brought to you by our good friends at Cedar Park Overhead Door and Garage Doors. You can check them out at cedarparkgaragedoors.com. And, you know, the announcement came down from the Big 12, the board of directors yesterday. And I don't think it really shocked anybody that it became a 9+1 schedule. That means everybody in the conference is going to play everybody in the conference like they do every year anyway, and then plus one non-conference game, which, mandated by the Big 12 Conference, must be a home game. Now, that has caused some other issues for schools who, because of the domino and ripple effect of other conferences like the SEC and the Big 10 and the Pac-12, electing to stick with conference play only, they would lose games out of that. And then other games that would have been a non-conference road game for them has to fall by the wayside because the plus one needs to be a home game. So it's created some other scheduling issues as well. For folks who are wondering why did it take so long to get to this, I think it's safe to say they were working through the individual desires, wants, and needs of their constituency. And what I mean by that is, for example, what I'd been able to learn over time is that West Virginia wanted very much to play a full 12-game schedule. Had their replacement opponents lined up, including one for losing out on the Maryland game, and they were ready to go with a 12-game model. However, that was not the case with virtually the entire rest of the league. It was going to be difficult to make it work anyway.
And another thing to consider about West Virginia, Craig, they've known longer than a lot of people, them and TCU and Texas Tech, because they lost Pac-12 games. That Florida State opener that was supposed to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that came right off the books for West Virginia a few weeks ago when the ACC made their decision.
Right.
So, that said, I'll get into Texas in just a second, because right, I know that's kind of how everybody wants to know, okay, logistically, how is that going to work? But I went ahead and looked at, okay, what non-conference games are left for Big 12 schools? Well, Craig, Iowa State is in the best position of anybody in the league because through cancellations, remember, Iowa State lost the Iowa game.
Iowa game right off the bat.
Right out of the gate. But Iowa State's managed to schedule a full non-conference schedule. They've got South Dakota lined up for September 5th. And the following week, they're scheduled to host Ball State. Excuse me. And then they've got a game lined up with UNLV for September 19th. So Iowa State can make this work a number of different ways and be fine. Especially, here's the key. I think if you're a big, and we'll get to Oklahoma in a minute, and that's where this ties right in. I think if you're a Big 12 school, if you can avoid that one non-conference game being an FCS opponent, I think at this point you would probably prefer to do that. Now,
by the same token, correct me if you think I'm wrong here, I would think that because of the way it is setting up now, that most of these schools would prefer that this non-conference opponent be, if it was going to be a Power 5, at least one, a lesser light Power 5, if not a group of five FBS D1 school. In other words, you only got one non-conference game. Do you really want it to be a brutal non-conference opponent when you only have one, and right, then you got to go right into league play?
Right. So I think anybody fantasizing about Chris Del Conte lobbing a phone call to Clemson or Florida State to see if they want to play, that's not going to happen. So here's how it looks for the Big 12, Craig. So I mentioned Iowa State. They're sitting in a really good spot. Another team in a really good spot is Baylor. Baylor's got Incarnate Word scheduled for September 19th. They've also got a September 26th game scheduled against Louisiana Tech because Baylor and Kansas are supposed to open Big 12 play on September 12th against each other. So I would imagine that schedule is going to be reworked. And that's another thing is the league office has to look and say, okay, to rearrange bye weeks and whatnot, now do you change the conference schedule based on the start date? So the Big 12, in typical Big 12 fashion, yes, they've given everybody a roadmap, but they've still got to plot destinations and, sure, and everything else on that map. So I mentioned Baylor and Iowa State. Oklahoma State has two games scheduled, Tulsa on September 12th and September 19th against Western Illinois. Kansas State also with two games, Buffalo and North Dakota on those back-to-back September weekends. Here's where it starts to get tricky. You mentioned West Virginia. Now that you're down to one opponent, who's that one opponent going to be? Because your only scheduled game for West Virginia right now, September 12th, hosting Eastern Kentucky. Oklahoma's one scheduled game because now their return trip, Oklahoma's supposed to go to West Point to play Army. That is not going to happen because
right,
that has to be a home game. Oklahoma's only scheduled non-conference game right now is that Missouri State game on August 29th. Now, we know that game is not going to happen. Now, I went to OU Insider, our 24/7 Sports Oklahoma site, last night and this morning. Oklahoma was supposed to have practice today. Now, remember, they started on Friday because under the practice guidelines, the NCAA is still allowing you, if you want, you can start at the 30-day mark of your originally scheduled opener. So Oklahoma and Kansas started practice on Friday.
Just like Texas State because of the August 29th shift of the SMU
right,
season opener.
Texas State, opened camp yesterday. Or maybe it was, I'm getting my days confused. It was yesterday. Yesterday was Monday. Here's the deal with Oklahoma. Oklahoma understands that, look, you're probably going to have to move this game. It's an FCS opponent. Do you really want it? But so Oklahoma now is in such a scramble to try to figure out what they're going to do with that game, when it's going to be played. Lincoln Riley reportedly canceled practice today. They're going to have a team meeting, and it sounds like Oklahoma, instead of practicing, they're just going to go back into normal summer conditioning mode until they figure out who they're playing, when they're playing, and what the conference schedule looks like, because they've already dealt with injuries. It sounds like they probably lost Caleb Kelly, their linebacker, mm-hmm, probably lost him for the year with a knee injury. And in a year where maybe you were hoping to have some competition at quarterback, Tanner Mordecai suffered an injury in practice. So Oklahoma might be down a quarterback, and you're down maybe your best defensive player already, and you don't even know what your schedule looks like. So maybe it's a good thing Lincoln Riley canceled practice. So the other two schools, Craig, they're even in worse shape than Oklahoma, are Texas Tech and TCU. They have no non-conference game scheduled, period.
None.
Texas Tech lost their last game at UTEP. Again, that has to be a home game, so that game won't be played. And TCU had a road game scheduled to take on SMU, yeah. Even though it's, I Google mapped it, it's exactly 40 minutes from Amon Carter Stadium to Gerald J. Ford Stadium. Yeah. That game's not going to happen. So TCU's looking for an opponent. Texas Tech's looking for an opponent. Where does that leave Texas? Texas, again, pretty favorable spot. I think we can all assume at this point that South Florida game is not going to be played. Can it get pushed down the road? Yes, it can. And I looked at it, Craig, and probably I think 2028, I think, is the first time where Texas and South Florida both have gaps in their non-conference scheduling where if you wanted to, and it seems like Chris Del Conte and Tom Herman, as they've mapped this schedule out for the foreseeable future, it seems like Texas is going back to the Mac Brown preferred method of scheduling. And I really like the way Mac did this, where you don't schedule any FCS. If you're scheduling three non-conference games, it should be one regional group of five foe.
And over the years, that included Arkansas State, Louisiana Monroe. It was basically a Sun Belt conference, what is now a Sun Belt conference opponent. Just
or
about
USA,
your
Rices,
Louisiana. You had those. You're right.
So one kind of regional group of five game, one group of five where maybe you'll probably test yourself a little bit, and that's kind of where if you look at past and future schedules. That might be a Wyoming, that might be
Central Florida,
a South Florida, Colorado State coming up in a few years would fit that mold. And then you schedule your Power Five, your Notre Dame, your UCLA, whoever you have.
Ohio State.
So Texas, it looks like, is just going to play UTEP in the non-conference. And that makes sense for a lot of reasons, Craig. Again, we talked about it. You should have a better feel of, number one, a school in the University of Texas system, what their protocols are and what protocols they're following on a daily basis. And number two, if UTEP gets that $1.4 million payout for playing that game, at least you're keeping the money in the University of Texas system. You're helping out a fellow institution. So every reason in the world in this COVID-19 world we're living in for Texas to play that game against UTEP and either push the South Florida game back, or at some point it might just be Texas giving South Florida the $1.9 million and say, hey, maybe we'll see you down the road somewhere, or depending on what the contract looks like, maybe
that force majeure clause,
maybe you could get out of that. I don't know. Yeah. I have not looked at that contract, full disclosure.
I think that probably this sounds like, just like you said, putting off the game,
right?
A postponement of the game. And it may be 8 years down the road, but look at the Arkansas game. The trip to Fayetteville next year for Texas was originally supposed to be 2009,
right? And it's coming up in 2021, which is, I wrote an article on the site, Craig, at Horns 24/7 last week. You can go to the site and get it. People were wondering, when's the LSU game? When can you replay that game? Because I think we all know, like, Chris Del Conte, the powers that be at Texas, they want that return game in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you might have to wait a while, but look no further than the 2021 schedule to figure out how long you might have to wait to get a return game. And it might be 10, 12 years down the road. But you can get it in. It can be done. It can be scheduled.
Somewhere down the road.
And I think I looked at 2034, I think, is the next opportunity. If you look at where there's no current Power 5 opponent for either school in the non-conference, I think 2034 is the next year where feasibly you could look at it without moving things around where Texas and LSU could play. Now, it could be sooner if something happens with structure to the college football playoff and requirements that the selection committee might look at to favor somebody that goes out and schedules really hard in the non-conference. That could all change that, but as of right now, the conditions we sit in, 2034 is probably the earliest you're looking at. Texas LSU.
Saw somebody on Twitter last night, and they felt it, I guess, important enough to them to tweet it. They were retweeting something, I guess it might have been the one from the writer from the Tampa Times about, what was probably going to happen with the South Florida game. And it was tweeted both at me and that somebody that follows Texas Tech. And it said, for whatever reason, and this guy, who I don't know, his deal was, well, Texas is going to do whatever it could to get out of the LSU game. I'm like, what? one has nothing to do with the other, A. B, Texas didn't get out of the LSU game. It was taken from them by the SEC's decision. What are you talking about? But, you know, stuff like that didn't even merit a response. But anyway, there was that. Now, to your question with regard to TCU, like you said, they were due to play at Cal, Prairie View at home, and at SMU. Prairie View, as we know, is not going to play because the SWAC is not going to play until the spring. And SMU is a road game. You said, well, I mean, it's 40 miles. Wouldn't SMU agree to it? No, because SMU has two other road games that that they would like to play if they could. The one at Texas State, which has been announced, and they got a game in Denton. Speaking of 40 miles up the road, they're supposed to play on the 19th at North Texas.
Yeah.
So, and who knows what's going to happen with that game. So you know they're going to want to keep a home game if they could, and if TCU can't play, then maybe they reach out to try to get somebody else for a home game.
Yeah, I think, you know, UTSA had a game fall off the schedule with LSU. Rice lost LSU. You know, North Texas, even though you would have to move some dates around, North Texas lost a game with Texas A&M. So
that's
there's,
right.
There's enough regional opponents that you can make that work in some way, shape, or form. But, Craig, here's your history lesson for today.
Okay.
Now, we know because the Texas-Oklahoma series, it's the longest-running series, active series Texas has, is because for years those two teams were not in the same conference.
That's right.
With Texas in the Southwest Conference, Oklahoma in the Big Eight. And I just looked at it in the AP poll era. Like, pretty much once you started anything before 1936, I'm not all that interested in looking at. And I don't even know why I go back to 36, but I just, like, the AP poll era to me feels like a good place to start. So really, in the AP poll era, Texas always had a Power 5 non-conference opponent up through 1995 when the Southwest Conference dissolved and merged with the Big 8 to form the Big 12. Well, since then, Texas has had at least one Power 5 non-conference opponent in every year except two. This will be the third, so this will be the third year in the AP poll era going back to 1936 where Texas does not play a Power 5 opponent in non-conference play.
Okay, and those other 2 years were?
The first year, we should probably, Craig, get a couple people in here to maybe do an oral history of this season as much as we reference it.
Yeah.
The first year it happened was 2007.
The weird year of 07.
So Texas, though, the non-conference schedule, that featured Arkansas State, the sweaty road trip to UCF. Ugh. And, if you remember, Texas did a one-off home game with TCU. Now you say, okay, TCU was maybe, at that point, a better game than you could schedule with a lot of Power 5 schools.
Right.
At that point. But TCU was a Group of 5 school at that point. The year where there is no debate that Texas did not play a TCU, a BYU, anybody that could be confused with a Power 5 school was 2 years later, 2009. Because as we just talked about, Texas lost the back end of that home-and-home with Arkansas. That got pushed down the road because at the time, they were in different conferences. Arkansas and Texas A&M reached that long-term agreement to play that game at AT&T Stadium.
Yep.
The Jerry Jones Classic or whatever they were calling
it. And that's
it
why they wanted to back out of that, to say, hey, can we push it on down the road? And if I remember correctly, the original first rescheduled date was supposed to be 2014 for Texas and Arkansas when they asked, hey, can we push back the 09 game?
Right.
And then it just kept getting pushed back and pushed back.
And that's how Texas, was that a BYU addition to the schedule?
I
or
think.
Was UCLA, one of the two was added to the schedule.
Was thinking that might have been UCLA.
The UCLA one-off at AT&T?
Yeah.
That was probably, I think you're right, that was probably it. So 2009, the non-conference schedule for Texas, you open up with Louisiana Monroe. And then your game that you filled the Arkansas vacancy with was the rare road trip to Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something else. That was down 10-6 at the half. Guys trying to get used to elevation of 7,230 feet. And then Colt just kind of unleashing it in the second half. And the game of his life for Trey Newton, who rushed for over 100 yards in that game. It had a big game that day. That was also the game, if folks remember, when Justin Tucker elected to try to fake a punt from inside his own 10-yard line.
That's the lasting image of that game is that play.
When he went running up there, Mac asked him, what did you do? And he said, well, I thought I could make it. Mac was like, don't think about that. Just kick.
Just kick the ball.
that was all of that bizarre. That was also, for folks who didn't know, the bizarre circumstances of that game. The team stayed in Laramie, And of course, when the team travels, you know, they stay in the city that they're playing in. They stay there. Now, there are exceptions to this rule. It has gone on for decades that Texas, when they play the Baylor Bears in Waco, they usually don't stay in Waco. They'll stay in Temple or, you know, one of the other places. They won't stay in. But a lot of it has to do with hotel availability and space. So the and they stopped staying in College Station after the infamous 99 game because of that, all the wake-up calls and and the no food for
Major
the players.
Major Applewhite got the bubble guts.
Yes, that. And then the players rolling through the jack-in-the-box next door to the Ramada Inn and, you know, Leonard Davis walking through the drive through asking for three, you know, breakfast jacks or whatever it was, you know, that sort of deal. You know, there are exceptions to that rule. But most of the time, the team stays in the city where they're going to play the opponent. And in this case, they did. They had the one hotel that could hold them was the Hilton Garden Inn in Laramie. And it had they barely had enough room for the team, the coaches, and the staff, training staff. And that was about it. Most of the other support personnel and those of us listed in the quote-unquote travel party, including the radio broadcast crew, were staying in a hotel of the far west chain out there, Little America. There was a Little America hotel in Cheyenne, 50 miles away. So, okay, that's fine, whatever, we'll stay there. What we didn't know and found out later was that because Texas had moved so quickly and worked in it so far in advance to schedule this a year out, that Hilton Garden Inn was normally the night before host hotel for the University of Wyoming. And they had no hotel. So guess where they were staying? At the Little America with us in Cheyenne, 50 miles away for a home game. For a home game. Yeah, so
such is life for a group of five school, Craig.
Yeah, so that happened. Now, there was the one other year, and for folks saying, well...
By the way, real quick, Craig, yes. your non-con that year for 2009,
yeah.
It was Louisiana Monroe at Wyoming. UTEP at home, which Texas fans will still tell you was probably the hottest home game
in
recorded history. I remember Malcolm Brown took a recruiting visit, took an unofficial visit, and I remember talking to him after the game. He's like, I want to stay for the home game. He's like, but we were sweaty and hot, and we ended up leaving in the third quarter because it was just unbearable.
You know what? I'll put that up there with the 99 Stanford game, 69-17 game here. That was just – people were just melting that day.
And then that late season November game against UCF, I believe where Colt McCoy set the school record for passing yardage. It was the Colt set the passing yardage record or Jordan Shipley set the receiving yardage record in that game? Or it might have been both. I don't remember.
But yeah.
One of them set one or the other records that day.
Right, exactly. Someone at Texas said Texas should do what Ohio does and require FBS teams to schedule in-state FCS teams for non-conference games. Ohio State, I don't...
You could schedule your group of fives.
But right.
Ohio State had it for a long time where you had to schedule in-state, so they were always playing Ohio U or Akron or Kent State, somebody
in the state
of Ohio.
But all of those were FBS opponents,
right.
MAC opponents, not FCS like Youngstown. They did play them, I think, once, but it wasn't normally that.
That might have been a Jim Tressel deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the time it was the FBS schools from group of five things, like out of the MAC.
And I think they had to schedule at least one had to be against an FBS opponent from the state of Ohio.
Somebody else texted and said, Bowlesby is clueless. In this particular case, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with it, but you've heard me talk about the desk of the commissioner being the desk from which 1,000 indecisions have been launched. But in this case, this isn't really on him. This is school presidents and athletic directors in the meeting saying, this is what we want, and he had to bring them together to say, look, what's the majority going to rule here? And that's what ultimately happened with that case. So, if I'm remembering this incorrectly, but the last time, for folks who want to know, when's the last time Texas played an FCS opponent? I think it's Sam Houston State.
2006.
In 06. And that was a replacement, if I remember correctly.
That was the weird year where I think in 06 was the first year where the NCAA said all FBS schools, you're going to 12-game regular seasons.
First, they went to 12.
Yeah.
But also, in addition to the 12, didn't either, I want to say it was either Cal
or a Minnesota program coached by Tim Brewster that backed out of
it. It was Minnesota, yeah.
So they had to scramble and get that.
The only game they could find. And yeah. I remember, I wasn't covering the team at that time, but I remember like the press conference and listening to local radio at the time. Mac was not happy about having to play that game.
Nope. And I think it was like 56-0.
It was treated like a trip to the dentist. Like, look, we're not doing much scouting this week. Just we hope nobody gets hurt. Just get there, get it over with, and get out as quick as we can.
And that's what it was. That's basically what it was. It wasn't an effort to schedule that. It was that, or you don't get a 12th game.
Right.
That sort of thing. All right. Coming up, we have our inconceivable moment. And there are a couple of items on that, which we'll do here on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Shirts and skins with
Inconceivable! 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 Inconceivable!
You keep using the Horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, depending on where you live in the country, inconceivable can mean any number of things. I just returned from vacation. The place where I go is Brunswick County, North Carolina. It's down on the far southeastern coast, right near the South Carolina state line. In fact, the actual beach that I go to, Sunset Beach, if you walk along the beach, especially at low tide, if you walk along the beach south past the pier about a mile and a half, you actually cross the state line while walking on the beach in the South Carolina. Huh. You actually do that.
That's awesome.
Not much walking on the beach in Sunset Beach this morning. I'm telling you, you talk about getting out of Dodge just in time. Hurricane Isaias had sustained winds of 85 miles per hour. It was a Category 1 hurricane. Made landfall about 10 o'clock our time, 11 o'clock Eastern time last night near Ocean Isle Beach. That's the next beach up from Sunset, according to the National Hurricane Center. And then it said howling wind and water washing and 1 to 2 foot swells closed a bridge Monday night in Sunset Beach, North Carolina. There's only one bridge to the island. It's a big causeway bridge. But they said if the winds were above 45 miles an hour, they're going to shut the bridge down because you're at a high elevate. They didn't want anybody blowing off into the intercoastal waterway. So they shut down the bridge. In other words, if I had been due to leave today, I'd still be stranded on the island because the bridge is closed. It's the only way to get on or off the island.
It's got to be a scary place to be in the middle of a hurricane.
Yeah, yeah. Fortunately, it's just, and I talked to my brother. I have two brothers that live on the coast, both of them in good shape, but lots of rain and all that other kind of stuff. Speaking of beaches, this happened, Jeff. You've seen the movie. What's the movie? I just lost the title. Tom Hanks, stranded, marooned.
Castaway.
Thank you. When he's, writing his SOS and everything. Well, these people wrote an SOS on an island in the South Pacific and it got him saved.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a bunch of guys in a boat who were in a boat trying to make a 26-mile journey, 42 kilometers, from Pulawat to Pulap. Those are atolls. In the Federated States of Micronesia.
Those are what? Atolls?
Atolls. A-T-O-L-L. Atolls.
Okay.
Those are like rocky islands. Okay?
Coral. Gotcha.
Coral-based islands. They went off course, ran out of fuel, landed on tiny, uninhabited... this sounds like something you would find in Pokemon. It's Piccolo Island, or Piccolot Island. P-I-K-E-L-O-T. It's 118 miles off course, and the island's about 500 miles south of Guam. But when the men didn't arrive in Pulap, the other place, a search was requested through the U.S. Coast Guard's Joint Rescue Subcenter in Guam. Three Micronesian men spotted by a U.S. Air Force tanker operating out of the base, and then they said, we were at the end of our search pattern. We turned to avoid some rain showers, and that's when we looked down with a drone and saw the SOS written on the beach. So it saved them.
Good for them.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going from one atoll to another.
So this was an uninhabited island, right? This wasn't like one where like you got the natives there who like throw weapons at oncoming boats that might try to help or anything.
They did not even have Wilson volleyballs on this island. It was that's how uninhabited it was. And finally, one other thing. This took place in London. Did you hear about this Lithuanian man who they thought was murdered and then found out he just wanted to get away from everybody?
Can't say that I have.
It's happened in London. There was a Lithuanian man who disappeared almost 5 years ago, and he had become the subject of a murder inquiry. Well, they found him. He disappeared in September of 2015 while working for a fruit and vegetable producer in Cambridgeshire in eastern England. 35 years old, failed to turn up for work the following Monday. Concerns were raised and went looking for him, couldn't find him, completely disappeared. They thought foul play had happened. Come to find out, nope, he was just very well concealed after deliberately hiding in dense undergrowth where he's been living for the past 5 years.
Dang.
In dense undergrowth and not speaking with anyone for some time, according to police. Officers believe the man, who they say is now safe,